A lot of the people who made people laugh when they were on Ed Sullivan or The Tonight Show, people like George Burns, Bob Hope, Sid Caesar, Bob Newhart, all sat around Marlo Thomas's family dining table, telling stories late into the night. Marlo Thomas has written a memoir about the sound and spirit that's been so formative in her life and the lives of others. Growing Up Laughing, My Story and the Story of Funny, in which she talks about and to some of the biggest names in American comedy, including Tina Fey, Jon Stewart, Chris Rock, Whoopi Goldberg, Don Rickles. I could go on, but let Marlo Thomas do it. She joins us from New York. Thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure. My pleasure. So and I know that you also had a dad who was a comedian, so you and I grew up the same.
We sure did. Are funny people born or made?
It's both. I think in my case, I had no choice but to have a good sense of humor. I grew up with my dad, Danny Thomas, and George Burns, and Bob Hope, and Milton Berle, and Sid Caesar, and all those guys were at our house all the time, and telling jokes and making each other laugh. And I remember when I was a teenager, I'd be out on a date, but I'd look at my watch and I'd think, I better get home because the comics would be in the living room smoking cigars and drinking brandy and just screaming laughing. It was just delightful. And I think it gave me a real appreciation for the value of comedy.
I was surprised and pleased to learn, recognizing this is obviously not a scientific sample, a lot of the comedians with whom you speak in this book actually came from happy, stable childhoods.
Yes, it does seem that way. Very traditional families. Kathy Griffin, Jay Leno, they all went home and made jokes around the dining table. And that's pretty much the way I grew up. We lived in a house where my father was always making jokes, encouraging jokes from us at the table. He always said at the dinner table, has anybody heard a good joke? And then we would tell it, and everybody would laugh, and then he'd say to us, you know, it'd be much funnier if that was an old guy. You know, he'd rewrite the joke, which was great because then we'd go back to school and retell the joke or tell it to somebody else, and we had the confidence that we'd made it even better. So there was a craft that he was teaching us all at the same time.
Could you recount for us, I think, near as I can tell by reading this book at any rate, one of the few times your father got genuinely angry at the dining table and what he said when he went stalking up the staircase?
My parents were bickering at the table, and after a while my dad got up and he walked across the marble floor of our entry hall to the bottom of the staircase, the carved staircase, and he put his hand on the carved knob of the staircase, and up above him was this Venetian chandelier. And he screamed at my mother in this very loud voice, and he said, Rosemarie, I can't live like this anymore. And then he fell over laughing. And, you know, in that, and we all did too, but in that instant, he saw how absurd he looked, that this man is in this opulent house with all these lovely things, was actually saying to his wife that he couldn't live like this anymore. And when I wrote that in the book, I made the observation that there are really three kinds of people in the world. Those, like my dad, who could right in the middle of an incident see the humor in it. And then there are those who can see the humor after some time has passed. And then there are those who will never see the humor. And I really think that that's almost more important than the people that are glass half full or half empty, because it really is the cushion for life, as far as I'm concerned. The rejection that we all take and the sadness and the aggravation and the loss of jobs and all of the things that we live through in our lives, without a sense of humor, I don't know how people make it.
I love the story about how Billy Crystal used to watch and from where he used to watch the Jack Parr show with his
father.
Oh,
wasn't that adorable? He would put his chair, at 7 years old, he'd put his chair next to the TV so he could pretend that he was the next guest. Oh, God, that really is so darling. And I love that Robin Williams' mother used to drop a rubber band out of her nose to make his friends laugh. It was interesting, as I was writing, and I remembered that my father told me, my father had a very stern father, and his mom was just completely, you know, overwrought. She had 10 children and nobody to help her, and she was, you know, the cook and the laundress and the nanny and everything. So there wasn't a lot of playfulness in my dad's house, but he had this one uncle who was this real card, and he was so funny that he was barred from family funerals. Which I love that too. It just really makes me laugh. So that was my dad's, that's where he got the gift of laughter from, his Uncle Tony. And then, of course, I thought about where I got my gift of laughter from all those comedians that hung out in our house. And that's when I started wondering, where did all these other comedians get it?
Could I get you to tell about the time you and your friend took the mass pills?
Oh, my gosh.
And, your father's reaction. Yeah.
Oh, I hope I can tell that quickly enough. Well, you know, I went to Marymount, and where no women, no girls were allowed on the altar. Not even the nuns were allowed on the altar. And we used to have this priest would come to say Mass for us. And so, of course, because no girls were allowed on the altar, the everything would be set out for him. So he would have to ring his own bells at the holy part of the Mass, and he'd have to pour his own wine and water and all of those things himself, which altar boys do, you know, in a regular church. And so my girlfriend Moya and I were just disgusted by the fact that girls weren't allowed on the altar. So one day we decided to steal the bells so that when he went to ring the bells, they wouldn't be there. We just couldn't wait for this. And so all of the other girls in the Mass were doing what they should be doing, praying and paying attention to the Mass. And, of course, my friend Moya and I, we were 13 years old, were sitting in the back of the church. We couldn't wait when he started to fumble to look for the bells. And he fumbled. We saw him. The moment came, and he went to fumble for the bells. And, of course, they weren't there. And he did this thing that we never could have imagined he would do. He said, "Ding-a-ling-a-ling," and then of course, we started to choke. And then he did it again, "Ding-a-ling-a-ling," because there's three times that you ring that bell. And then I thought we were going to die. And then a third time, "Ding-a-ling-a-ling." Well, of course, we fell over laughing, and it was obvious who had done this, and we were immediately expelled from school. And so my father was called up to Marymount, and Reverend Mother Emanuel said to my father, "I'm sorry, Mr. Thomas, but Margaret just does not have the poise for a Marymount girl." I said, "Oh, I knew it. I was going to be expelled." And my father stood up very humbly and said, "Oh, I know, Reverend Mother. That's why I've given her to you." You know, and I could see Reverend Mother's eyes. She knew she'd met her match. And we got in the car, and I said, "Oh, Daddy, you were so great. That was so funny, the way you checkmated Reverend Mother." And he said, "Don't you ever have me face off with that woman again, and don't you ever make jokes at Mass. Mass is not the place for jokes." Yeah. And, oh, I felt terrible. I'd done this awful thing. And we were very quiet for a while. And then he said, "I was good, though, wasn't I?"
I love that story.
I know. It's a good story. It's true. It's good to have a dad on your side.
Gosh, yes. So, in the end, yes. Can comedians be happy?
Well, my dad was. Yeah. I know George Burns was a very happy man. It looks to me that
Don Rickles seems very happy.
He is. He's having a good time. He's married happily.
Yeah. Joan Rivers, what about?
I don't know. I think Joan's had a rough time. Her husband committed suicide, and so she's had a difficult time. But a lot of her, she says in the book that a lot of her humor comes from anger and from wanting to show people, which is different from, say, where Jon Stewart's humor comes from, which is really about, you know, taking on the establishment, or Robin Williams, who's just a big kid, or Billy Crystal, who's a big kid. There are different ways in which people approach comedy. Somebody once asked me, if I had 6 months left to live, how would I want to spend it? And I think they thought I was going to be very profound. And I said, in a room full of comedy writers, because I think that's where I'd be the happiest.
Marlo, great talking to you.
Oh, thanks. I've had a ball. So nice to meet you.
Marlo Thomas, the Emmy, Peabody, Grammy-winning actress and producer, author of several bestsellers, her latest, Growing Up Laughing. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.